Today's daf is daf lamed vav, and let's begin from the Mishnah. This is halacha bet. Habayit ve'elah shishnayim. So importantly here, we're talking about a situation where a person owned that both the house and the aliyah, and he rented it out to the person who's living in the attic. That's why the mafashim explain it. And now what happened is shenifchata aliyah, and then the ceiling, if you like, or the floor really of the attic, which is the ceiling of the bottom floor, ends up collapsing. Ve'ein ha'balabayit, and the balabayit says, "I'm not interested in fixing it now." Then, and also, Latchen, Bal Ha'aliyah, you read Vadar Lamata, the person in the top floor, he can come and live below Achit Kandaliyah until the person actually repairs it, the owner of the house. Why? Because he rented it out. He's almost like he is obligated to provide him a dwelling place. So, therefore, when it collapses, well, if you don't want to fix it, then I can live downstairs. Okay. Rabbi Yossi says, we'll discuss this. Actually, I'm not sure if we, the Gemara doesn't discuss this in enough detail. So the Pei Moshe explains that, firstly, let's understand that the word. Rabbi Yossi says the bottom person is obligated to put the support beams in and build up the floor, but the ma'aziva, the plastering on the surface above it, is not on him, that's on the person on the top floor. Now, the debate seems to be is what purpose does that ma'aziva serve? Rabbi Yossi says it's just to make it more comfortable to walk on, to smooth out any of the bumps. So if that's the case, well, that's a benefit for the aliyah, he can do it. But according to the Chachamim, that it's really obligation to provide all of that is the ma'aziva, the sort of the plastering or cementing, whatever it is, that actually assists in providing structural support. So therefore, then if the person at the bottom has to build that flooring, he has to do the whole thing. That is the Mishnah. That's on the Gemara. Habayit v'aliyah shoshnayim. Now, Tani, nifchat makoma tanur, if only the place where this tanur broke, then yored lamata, and the person doesn't repair it, he can simply go down, like yored lamata for that location. Makom kira, yored lamata. Ela, du amar le avid lechasulam, but the person below who doesn't want to repair it, and therefore by right, the person above can come down and use the oven, if you like, or this stove, that he says, you'll have a ladder in place, delotiavi alil vanafi gubeti. Because, okay, you have access to use your oven, so therefore use the oven in that way by ladder, but I don't want you traipsing through my house from the entrance all the way through all my rooms. Okay, so in other words, he has access, but limited access, it sounds like. Fine. Let's continue. Rav Yustat says, B'shem Resh Lakish, Hatachton notenata tikra v'halevachim, which is the beams and the boards, v'elyon, and the person up above places the ma'ziva. Now the question is, what type of ma'ziva are we talking about? Beis ma'ziva. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha says B'shem Rabbi Lazar, Ma'aziv Ya'avah, we're talking about a thick layer. Rabbi Baal says B'shem Rabbi Lazar, no, it's a thin layer. Oh, a medium layer, sorry, Ma'aziv Ha'bein on it. So the question is, what are we talking about? So Lo Amru Ela Ladiach Et HaKosot, Maram In HaVebaye Mishazga Ma'anin, then Af Rabbi Baal says B'shem Rabbi Lazar Modi Ma'aziv Ya'avah. In other words, when are we saying that it's sufficient just to have a thinner layer of this maziva? That's when all he's going to do in terms of water-wise is just like wash his cups. However, if he's going to do like wash his clothes and things like that, where it seems to be a lot more water, then he has to make a thicker layer of protection. Okay, the person living up above. Think of all the disputes in terms of responsibilities and fixing leaks and things like that you have in apartment blocks. That's what it's sort of relating to. Now, Horei Rav Chanina, Le'ilin Tziporaish, Yushneim Notnina Tatikra V'etelavachim, De'inun Zekukim Mesak Chamreihem Taman U'Masik Pireihun Taman. So he instructed Tzipori that if they're going to build up that floor in between, that really they both have to contribute to it, that both the bottom person and the top person, all the structural things. Why? Because it seemed to be that the Chamreihem, that it's normally, it's possible that we're talking about sort of the access in terms of might be like split level on a hill type of thing, because it's saying that the reason why they need extra support up above in that location is because of the chamoreihem. These are the chamorim, the donkeys used to come with their loads and to do deliveries in that location. So, in other words, I don't imagine they went up a staircase. I imagine it being sort of like if you can imagine, like in Beit Shemesh, you've got something like upper floors are accessible from the higher ground and things like that. That's the way I envisage it. But the point is since that the structural support needed was not normal, therefore, either upper person would also be obligated, if you like, to contribute to this this to the support. That's what it seems to be saying. Okay, fine. That's why it says Benaliyah Messiah. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. It's an halacha gimel. Habayit v'aliyah shel shnayim. So this is now simple bayit aliyah that was collapsed, owned by two people. So once again, it could be like we said, people, two brothers, a yoresh. Amar bal aliyah le bal habayit. The bal aliyah said to the bal habayit, "Livnot, let's build up, let's reconstruct." But who ain't rotzeh? And the bal aliyah has no interest in. Farid Balayab, sorry, for who entered says, sorry, the Balabait, the person on the lower floor, wasn't interested in doing any construction. Therefore, so what do you do? Well, the Balayab needs a house, so Harib Balayab Bonet, he can build their house, the first floor, then simply Tocha and live in there until he is paid. Okay? Meaning, again, top floor, I want to build it, bottom floors, I'm not interested, after all these collapse. So top floor just simply builds a floor below, and he can live there until the person is interested in contributing to the funds to the construction. Then he, I guess, he builds up and builds his floor above it. That's what the Mishnah is saying now. However, what the Gemara says is, sorry, what the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Avzu dar le tosh chavero tzrich lalotz oschar." He says, "But listen, the person who lives in the Aliyah, he's benefiting from living on the bottom floor, living effectively in the bottom floor's location, and if you and therefore he would have to pay rent." Because he has nowhere else to live. He's benefiting from it. So in this situation, if he's waiting and he's doing this for nothing, so if we say, oh, you can live there until the person who owns who really owned the bottom floor pays you, it's effectively like a loan and you're charging interest. Because he owes you the money for the construction of the bottom floor. Until he pays you, you're living in his location rent-free. That's a classic case of one of these interest situations. So Ella, what do you do? He builds a whole building. And he builds it out properly, and then he can dwell below. Because now he's not benefiting rent free because he has the capacity to live up above. There's no benefit for him up or down, it sounds like. And therefore, it's not what well, it can look like anymore like it's benefiting through being there rent free. And therefore, he'd be able to do so. By living there, he's preventing him from the other guy from living there. Being the person who really owned the bottom floor until he pays in for the expenses for reconstruction. Okay, fine. That's why he's saying. That's why he says should live there more as a preventative measure. That's why Marfold explains it. Okay, next one, the Gemara. Abayt v'aliyah. The Gemara says, what if it's the other way around? What if the balabait wants to build the balaya? Aliyah is not interested. So the balabait builds his level, but the question is, there's certain things that need to be done up above. We'll see in a moment. Do we say gufinu? Do we say, okay, no, you need to seal. Gufinu is like seal it up. So what type of sealing up are we talking about? The Mara Fulda says lashon stima kom mukufat chavit. The lashon is mukufat chavit. That's where they seal barrels. It's the same language. So gufinu is that language. No, you got to put the beams over, but you got to seal it up. Begova your height. She'ein ani rotzeh lasot because I'm not interested in building up above. Then that's your responsibility. Different explanation, by the way. Pnei Moshe says, meaning that's your space. You have a responsibility to build a railing or do something there. Yeah, you don't want to finish it off, but that's your space. In other words, do we say that? Can the Balabait say to the Balayah, even though you're not interested in constructing, finishing it off to build a house there, you still are required to finish off at least the flooring and the ma'aka to seal it off? Okay, so the Gemara says, Nishmin, how do we learn from the following case? Let's say you've got two different churvas, they're like usually ruins, and one next to the other. Amad Allah and it collapsed. And what happened is, Amad Allah ubana'a. And what happened was, is the two structures that were next to one another, there was a shared wall that separated between, if you like, the two different houses. So one on one side, the one guy decides to build it. Gemara says, without consulting the neighbor. Now it's funny, Lashon here actually explained this. The way the Pnei Moshe explains it is all he calculates how much he spent, the person who constructed it, and he the expenses are all on him, which is hard to read in the words because it says. Yitenlo, he's got to give all the yitzhak. Who's giving to who? So that's why it's interesting. I'm not sure where the article based it on, but they add a few words in between. In other words, The person on the left side, let's say, he built it without Rishut. And the person on the right side wanted it interested. And then after the fact, the person on the right side then constructed based on that wall that was built up dividing the two properties. Then Arezem Echashev Yitziotav. Then what happens is you calculate the expenses it was for that middle wall. The Yitenu Kol Yitziotav, meaning all his share, not the whole thing, all his share. So both ways you read it, it's not exactly precise with the Lashon of the Gemara. But in any event, the point is, Kashem Minatzad, Kach Gofino. But whichever way you read it, prior to the person on the right-hand side doing anything, the person on the left-hand side can't say, okay, you've got to contribute to this wall we've constructed. It's only once he then decides, okay, I'm interested in building now, that we can start saying, okay, now you've got to contribute. So too here, in the case of the Beit Eliyahu that collapsed, and the person, only the person of the Beit was interested in building it, so he built his floor, he can't compel the Aliyah to do any contributions at all, to finish, to seal it off, or whatever, unless, of course, the person Aliyah was interested in going in and doing so, and then, obviously, then he can claim a compensation. Fine. Let's now learn Halacha Daled. Says v'chen beit habad shehu banui basela. So here we've got a beit habad is a press that is banui basela in a rock face, a rock. V'gina acher al gabav. So one of these hollowed out some rock, if you like. The beit habad, the press is underneath it, and there's a gina above it, a garden. V'nifchat, and then it collapsed. Hare bala gina yored v'zorea lamata ad sheyaseh lebeit bado kipin. That, and that collapsed. The gina was there, if you like, and because once it collapses, the person who had the Ginah, who's now his Ginah's gone, it was, and the gut was, I guess, mushubad to the Ginah. The person in the Ginah can now start planting below because it's my floor now. My floor has to be lower down until the person of the Beit HaBad is willing to, if you like, construct that space in between. Okay, to do his bit, because again, we have to be dealing again with one of these situations, as we said, where the person below was mushubad to the person above. Let's just look at the Mara folder, because I'm just going to have a bit of suffix on this. Let's go. He says, "V'zeh beit habad beit otzer beit zitin v'gina achad al beit habad shechakak adam b'sela tachtav ka'ein kippah." So he hollowed out underneath this gina, as we said, like a dome area for him to be. Gina lamala b'beit habad milamata, and the gina was above. Na v'ku'uka shemet. Beautiful, once again. And when the person who constructed both the Gina and the Beit HaBad underneath it, he ended up dying. The Natlu Banav and the sons were inherited. One took the top and one took the bottom. Yafeh. So that's exactly like we explaining yesterday of Beit Velash Shel Shnayim. Okay? Same thing. In other words, they're two different owners. Now the Gemara, so back to Mara Fulda. The Nifchat Gago Shel Beit HaBad, Shehu Makom Zriyat HaLiyah. The house collapses. Then he's got to build a kick, these kifin, he's got to build it up again by Elyon Oten Alav Afar Vizra. So if you like, the bottom person responsible for building the sort of building up the structure, these dome, and the top person will build the soil, and that's how it would continue. Okay. Now done law. So fine, let's continue. Hakotel va'ilan, shenaflu. We've got a wall or a tree that collapsed into Rosh Hashanah. It was some freak accident. It was ones v'zikan and caused damage. Is patur mishnah is exempt from paying. It was ones. However, let's say it was baked in, or people today was seen that this was a tree that was tipping over, or the wall seems to be in a sort of very structurally unsound, and they gave him time. That none of the one they wanted. We've got time to dismantle it. Hakotel v'lakutz v'naflu, and then it collapsed. B'toch hazman patur. Then the person is patur during that warning period. However, achar zman, since he'd be given warning, then he would be chayav for any damage. Okay, listen to the Gemara now. V'chein beit habad ada kotel v'ilan. Amar Rabbi Elazar, ma'aseh bedalit echad, she'atah mudla al parsiko shel chaveiro. So here, once again, it's a very similar structure we've seen in the case of the Beit HaBad, and very similar structure to the case we've seen with the Beit Aliyah. So, but here, once again, the way Mara Fulda explains it, if I'm not mistaken, is we've got a person who, again, a person owned, he had a vine, and he was madle. He propped it up over an afarsek. Okay? And once again, he was niftar. One son took the afarsek, and the other one took the vine. Okay? So that's how it was split that way. Okay? And the Gemara says, "V'nishpacha afarsik," and the branches of the afarsik broke down. Uba ma'aser lifnei Rebbi Chiya Gadol. Rebbi Chiya Gadol came. The incident came before him. V'amla tseva medlo afarsik. You are now responsible to provide an afarsik to prop it up. Gemara says, "One second. Amar le'Rav v'lo manita." This seems to contradict our Mishnah, because there it says, "V'chein beit avad shu banoi b'sela v'ginat acher al gabav v'nishpach shemano she'ein kofin." In the case we just brought the Mishnah where the gin was on top of this Beit Avad and it collapsed, we didn't say we compel the person down below to build it up. We just said the person up above can, the ginner can start planting below. Now you're trying to tell me now that he can compel the person to build up this, to plant this or bring this afarsek to prop it up. That doesn't make sense. Rabbi Chinen says, you're kofin, you can force it. So Gemara says, no. Name of a little pligi, that's actually not a malach machloket. Mandar kofid, if you want to say that there's no debate between the two, when do we kofim? That's shu'umed sham. That is when it is standing there. It, not so clear yet. Umanda amar ein kofim, the shita that says ein kofim is when it's not standing there. So what's standing there? The Marfudir explains, Mandar amar kofim, but shu'u sham etzel mudletz afarsek. Amar az kofim, meaning if by the mudlit there's an afarsek, then you can compel him to propagate it by there. Aval ein sham afarsek acher, if there's no afarsek acher, then ein kofim. Meaning it seems to be a matter of convenience according to the Marafold. Right? Meaning if there's an afarsek there, then you can compel him to do so. If there's no afarsek there, you can't compel him to go do so. So therefore, if you like the case of the kifin, well, we don't compel him necessarily to build it. Okay, so it's much more lenient than you'll see in a moment, which is the opinion of the Marfu, the Bnei Moshe. Bnei Moshe, if he says, Zeh v'hamed, the, 1 second here. This is in Neymar, right? He's saying, I'll just jump to the bottom of it. I'll just head outside. He says the difference. What's omed sham or omed sham? Meaning, when it's omed sham, we're talking about the person who owned the afarsek. When it's omed sham, meaning he's present, then you compel it. When it would, didn't we kofin oto? If you like the mission, we said, okay, just plant down below. That's when he's halach leminyat hayam, when he's gone overseas. That's far more chamur, because that's saying that mikardin, you could compel him to build up this, build up a kifin or plant a new tree. Whereas it sounds like Marafulda is not doesn't take that position necessarily. It sounds like going Marafulda, it's if there's already something nearby and conveniently be able to repair it, then go ahead and do so. Otherwise, it doesn't need to. We can't kofin her. Very different positions on the sugya. Okay, let's continue. Nadalo mazakutz kamaz man hamud beitin give. Rabbi Oshai says shloshim, it would normally be 30 days. Now, next Mishnah. Misha kotlo samuch leginat chaveiro v'nafal. Amalo pneat avanecha. Let's say someone had a wall next to the gina of his friend, and the wall collapsed. Amalo, he said to him, meaning the person whose gina says, "Get your stones out of here." Pneat avanecha. Amalo, he says, "No, higiucha. You know, you can keep them." We don't say we lo shamin lo. Ain't your min law. We don't listen to him. Your bricks fell in someone else's property. It's your responsibility to remove it. I don't care if you want to say you can keep it. The guy says, "This is my ginner. Get out of here." However, mishikibel alav, if the person says, "Okay, that sounds like a good deal," and he starts clearing it out and packing it up and do whatever, and amarle, the person whose wall it was, says, "Actually, here, whatever his time he spent, I'll pay you. Give it back to me intellectually." Then we say, "No, ain't your min law. Once you said you can keep it, that's you're out of the picture." Nigmar. Next, if someone hired a worker, to work with tevin and kash, straw and the like, amarlo, ten lish schari. The guy at the end of the day says, give me my money. Amarle, told me mashasita, you've done a lot of good work today. Take all that straw, you can have that for your payment. The schara, once again, we say, inshallah, he says, that's not, you can't make a deal like that. You owe me money, you pay me money. However, mishikibela love, if the worker says, that sounds like a great idea, I know just the play people that are willing to pay a high price for this. And he takes it, amarlo, and he starts clearing it out. And then the balabait says, "Hey, hilas scharcha, you know what? Here, I'll pay your schar and give it back to me." And it's actually, then it's again too late. Once you made the deal, you're out of the picture. Next, hamotzi zivlo rishus. If you want to take the manure out to rishus harabim, the point of which you're taking rishus harabim, and then someone's going to take it and it's used to fertilize their field. So it says, hamotzi you've got to be, you can do it, but it has to be removed straight away. So motzi and mezavel, like it's got to be taken straight away. You can't leave it there, because we're talking about appropriate or inappropriate uses of rishus harabim. And if it's a hazard, you're going to be chayiv. So ein shorin no tid, you cannot soak tidis clay in rishus harabim. It's going to be a long period of time there. Vein lovnim levanim, you cannot construct make clay bricks in rishus harabim because it takes a long time for it to dry. You're using the public space. You can start mixing cement if you're building a wall immediately, but not to make bricks. If you're like, oh, this is more clay. Someone's Barishra. If you want to build and you need to access, let's say you're building a wall and you need to access Rishrabim to do the construction, we say, okay, you can bring the bricks, but that's to be used straight away. You can't keep all the your product or your stock or your supplies really in Rishrabim a long time. But nonetheless, despite the fact you're allowed to put it there quickly to build it up, if someone hurts himself, you're still chayv. B'shalem Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, "Omer af metakenu et malachto lifnei 30 yom." He says, "Actually, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says one has a right to sort of prepare the building materials in that location for 30 days." Let's continue. And what says Zivlo? Someone takes out their done. We said, "Tani porek adam Zivlo mi petach chatzero shosarabim lifnoto miyad." Aval hashot aso. Once again, someone can unload all their zevel by the petach of the chatzero shosarabim, but in order that it be clear out straight away. But to leave it there, you're not allowed to do so. If someone, nonetheless, even though it was there for a short period of time, comes and injures himself on it, then you would be chayav nonetheless. Let's continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'shat ezvalim, at the time when they were fertilizing, if you like, porek adam zivlo, one is allowed to do that, but petach hatzirot, to put their all their dung and the like by their petach in rishus harabim, kedesha tifrach. Now, all the mouthful says shetisrach beragli adam or behemash lo shimyon, because in other words, in order that it's sort of they'll be trampled on, and that helps it turn all this stuff into actually good fertilizing, like it breaks it down. Okay, and why? Why your son allowed to do that? We said you're not allowed to learn all these things. No, she'amar ken Yoshua Israel at the Aretz. That's one of the conditions. If you like, these extrajudicial conditions that Yeshua said, we've seen that some of these conditions before, that you're, that 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 Yeshua was get Chalek Eretz Israel, that we inherit Eretz Israel, meaning that everyone accepted that this is okay, this is an okay practice. Fine. Next, Perek Adam Afaro, but Petach Chatzero. Once again, he called to also unload his soil, if you like, Petach Chatzero, Lishroto. Now, this type of soil we're doing is for production of clay. In order to prepare this clay and put it on top of a wall, miyad immediately. However, to leave it there, it's asur. Okay. If someone, nonetheless, even though it was temporary time, got injured, then he's chayev. But once, even though we said you're allowed to prepare this clay, or modern day, let's call it cement, by your building, it's got to be next to it. Sorry. You can't have it on one side of the road and do the with the construction the other besides there. If you the rishus for the production of this clay, it can only be mamash betzad where you are, you're building. Next, petach, someone can unload their stones, if you like, by their chatzir, but if it's going to be lifnotam b'yad, in order to remove it immediately, you're going to leave it for a long period of time. Once again, it's asur, you're not allowed to do that. Nonetheless, if someone gets injured, you'd be chayev. Fine. Masar achotzev legamal, a gamal chayev. So the whole stone to actual building stone ready process goes from the stone cutter, so that's a chotzev. He will give it to the gamal, who's going to transport it. The gamal's going to take it. So in other words, who's responsible at a different point in time? If the chutzet is the gamal, the gamal's chayev. The gamal gave it to satat, that's a stone cutter, so he's going to form it into nice bricks, if you like, or bricks, but construction stones, if you like, or wall stones, cubes. So finished off, then the satat's chayev. Satat, the saval is the person who carries it, a porter, I think they call it, but someone carries it on their shoulder. Then the saval is chayev. Helaga bebimus, they put it on top of the wall, the amefakfek, and he's still aligning it up nicely. Venafla, and it falls, and the adrikal is chayev. Nowadays, I think we say an adrikal is like an architect. However, the way it's what it means here, though, is he's avi umanim, he's the top craftsman. Shumedak, not just a project manager, there's someone who knows what he's doing. Shumedak dek bahanachata evin, he's careful where the where the stone should be placed, let's add then Moshe to make it perfectly aligned. Shelo tamish velo tateh velo tiyeh boletet chutzadimos. He's the person who, once they put the stone on, he lines it up perfectly because he can see the way it's all going to line up. He's the one that puts it on nicely. So even the process is doing that, it falls and hurts someone, he's chayv. Okay, fine. Masra, now gears to change here. Gamal satat. Once a gamal gives to satat, huzak beina situt, beina even, hasatat chayv. So whether someone injures themselves once it's given to the stone, not really kata, but the stone, let's call it forma. I'm not sure what is how you translate it, but once he, whether it's the main stone or the little chips that have been broken off, he's chayv for any damage that any of that causes. Once a satak gives it to sabal, the person who's carrying it away, then and causes damage, hasitut, if a little stone chippings, the satat is chayv for that. That's his waste product. However, the even, as it also the big stone, will now sabal take the responsibility of carrying it. Al tav yashva dimus, once it's placed on the wall, the nafla, then we say it is, and then it's patur. Okay, because once it's all finally finished nicely, all in place, the Adrikal's out of the picture, everyone's out of the picture, it's all nice, and then some freak accident happens, and it's like an honest, we say it's patur. Okay.